Hello and welcome to another SNL Energy podcast. I'm Jennifer Zajac, senior editor here at SNL Energy. And with me today is Peter Zaborowski. He's a managing director of Evolution Markets. He was quoted Monday in the Wall Street Journal discussing the plummeting NOx and SOx markets in the wake of the July 6 EPA announcement of its proposed new regulations to curb SOx and NOx power plant emissions. Pete, could you start off by telling us what the new transport rule, as it's called, proposes to do and how it differs from the current clean air interstate rule?
Hi, Jennifer. Sure. To talk about the new transport rule, one of the biggest changes with this rule and the former clean air interstate rule is the former clean air interstate rule tightened the SO2 cap for a set number of states, roughly 23 states in the country, by instituting a exchange ratio of the existing SO2 allowances from the acid rain program, such that more than one for one allowance per one ton of emissions would have to be submitted. This new transport rule would institute an entirely new allocation of SO2 allowances to effect an even tighter reduction of SO2 emissions in the eastern part of the country. So that is really the biggest change between this rule that was recently released and the former CARE rule. It would also expand regions and change the regions somewhat for NOx emissions controls and NOx emission budgets. There was always a separate program to control May through September emissions known as the ozone season under the CARE rule, and a program to control year-round annual emissions. So what it is doing is slightly changing the budgets from one state to another and changing some of the states that are affected. For instance, Texas used to be affected under the annual NOx program, is now being pulled out of that program. But by and far the biggest change is the fact that there's an entirely new SO2 allocation and that existing SO2 allowances from the acid rain program will not have any value under this new program.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. Now, since the beginning of the year, Pete, the SO2 markets in particular have been under pressure, and that's due in part to this regulatory uncertainty that's been surrounding this new proposal. You said to the Wall Street Journal, quote, "It feels like prices are going to zero quickly."
We've pretty much kind of found the floor where things have been, which is as close to zero as you can get, where vintage 2010 SO2 allowances are trading roughly $3 to $4 per ton, which is just amazingly low when you consider that the cost of controlling SO2 emissions at a plant that even has a scrubber, an FGD device, is probably upwards of $80, $100 a ton. It really has traded at such a low value now that it almost resembles option premium, that people are buying these allowances at a very low price. There's a handful of people that maybe still need them for compliance in the next 2 years before the proposed 2012 start date of the transport rule. But there are also people who are potentially buying them just somewhat as a lotto ticket, that perhaps there is a chance that there could be a legislative fix or some change that will allow these allowances to have value in a new program in the future.
So, Pete, I'm going to ask you a question that I'm sure a lot of your clients are calling you to ask. What's your short-term outlook and what's your long-term outlook for not only the SO2 markets, but NOx as well?
Well, the short-term outlook, in SO2 obviously is very bleak, because if these regulations are to be finalized as they are proposed now, the acid rain program continues, but since there's this new, much tighter program under the transport rule, in essence, the acid rain allowances just aren't needed. There's a big bank of credits that have been built up, and unless they can be submitted under this new tighter program, some kind of exchange ratio or a tighter submittal ratio, there's going to be no demand for them. It's entirely tied to whether these regulations are finalized or whether there's some successor legislation that comes in and allows them to be used under a new tighter program. So a bit of a bet that there's a legislative fix or change in regulation. As it's written now, these allowances clearly become worthless.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Congress. As you've mentioned a couple of times, that maybe, hopefully, at least for the utility sector, that Congress will pass some legislation. Could you talk a little bit about one bill in particular, the CARPER legislation?
Yes, well, I mean, the versions we've seen of CARPER's proposed 2010 Clean Air Act amendments preserves the integrity of the existing program by, when we're talking about the SO2 program, by creating a exchange ratio as existed under CARE in a slightly different mechanical way, in that the SO2 allowances under the acid rain program have been allocated all the way out to 2030 and beyond, and there would be a new cap much more stringent cap under this proposed 2010 Clean Air Act amendments, where existing allowances would convert into new allowances under the new tighter cap. But as you went further out in time, the existing allowances would have less and less value under the new cap. You'd have to submit successively more year by year old allowances to convert them into the new allowances under the cap. And it's somewhat elegant in that while you had these allowances under the acid rain program allocated way out into the future, as you went further, as you can imagine, further into the future, there was less trading, and the value was greatly discounted because of regulatory uncertainty. Participants in this market always understood that there was the risk of the program changing. And because of that, credits well 20 years into the future always traded at a much discounted price. So in a way, the CARPER mechanism is equitable in that people who have purchased allowances under the existing acid rain program much further into the future did so at a lower price. And the CARPER bill would also allow for increased auctioning of these new allowances as you got further out as well. So the way it folds the existing allowances into a new tighter allowance program to affect tighter SO2 cuts, but does so over time, is less disruptive to the market and doesn't penalize people who were perhaps more active in hedging their exposure in these programs further out into the future.
Pete, we've talked about the positives in the CARPER bill, but can you talk about any concerns that the utility sector might have regarding the way the proposal is structured now? And also, can you talk about the fact that not everybody in Congress is clearly on board with this proposal?
Well, the concerns will always be against the allocations and what is a fair allocation. And I think in general, the industry would much rather see full allocations than auctioning. And the CARPER bill does talk about eventually full auctioning in the future where there are no freely allocated allowances. So that clearly would be one concern, one thing that the industry would push back on. There's much more a bias towards seeing allocations rather than auctioning. But I think mostly the industry just wants certainty now. They want to see rules where they can have some comfort that these rules are not going to change and that they can do their capital planning and see how the emission market fits into their plan. And I think what the industry has seen is that EPA regulations in SO2 and NOx and what we've just been through with the CARE rule are constantly challenged with legal challenges and lawsuits. So I think they would rather have the devil they know and some certainty in the form of legislation than otherwise.
EPA, this wasn't done by their own volition. This was a court order that they had to do this, to go back to the drawing board, to come up with new regulations regarding SOx and NOx. Is there a thought that because EPA has now issued this proposal, perhaps this will prompt action on Capitol Hill to get some effective legislation passed?
Yeah, there is some thought to that, and there's also some thought that perhaps Congress is waiting to see what kind of fallout there is from this rule and what kind of comments are received during the comment period. Certainly, if you look at a lot of what has hit the trade press, the market is generally not happy with this rule. EPA was painted into a corner by the court's decision, and what they've come up with addressed the court's decision, but did so in a way that it dramatically decreases the flexibility of the market mechanism, which has been so successful. Frankly, the SO2 and NOx emission allowance programs have been a big success. They've worked, they've decreased the emissions considerably. They've done so while offering flexibility to the industry. And the new rule, while it addresses the court's decision, dramatically restricts the amount of trading and the flexibility of this program. So I think Congress is going to look hard to see how industry and other affected parties react to this rule. They're going to look hard at the comments that are received during the public notice period, and that will probably drive their response and how quickly or whether they decide to push forward on the legislative path.
Pete, any other reactions that you're getting from your clients or any other concerns or questions that they're raising, and what are you telling them?
I think there's a lot of concerns right now about the NOx emission allowance program. Those prices are very low as well. And whether the allowances under the existing programs will fold into the new program, and the EPA seems to be willing to entertain that. So I think what you have right now is a lot of people sitting on the sideline. If they don't need to transact for current year requirements, They're sitting and waiting for some regulatory clarity on how the existing NOx programs may fold under the new NOx into the new NOx program. On the SO2 side, there are a lot of people who have purchased allowances well into the future, and clearly they're discouraged. What are your alternatives right now? Sell allowances for $3 that you might have purchased in excess of $100, $200, $300 per ton, or just sit and wait at this point and hope that there's a possibility that they have value in some revised legislative fix?
We've been talking with Pete Zaborowski. He's a managing director with Evolution Markets. They are a provider of environmental brokerage services for utilities and investors. Pete, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Same here. Thank you, Jennifer.
And that's another SNL Energy podcast. Thanks for listening.